Hi, I'm Peter Haddock, and welcome to another very special edition of the Content with Media podcast. Today, this podcast is supported by the Construction Equipment Association, and it's going to be launched out at Apprentice Week. National Apprentice Week, folks, is so important to me and to the industry. And one of the biggest players in our sector that's supplying the Construction Equipment Association members is British Steel. Now, folks, a little bit about British Steel, if you don't know about them. They are one of the leading steel manufacturers in Europe with 130 years of steel making, and they employ a whopping 4,500 people. And, folks, we know they make a lot of steel, and approximately 3 million tonnes each year. But, as we all know, we need different specifications of steel, and unbelievably, they're 1,450 different specifications. That means they can really help you do wonderful things with steel to make the equipment that we need. They also employ over 4,500 people in the UK across their sites, including Scunthorpe and the Northern Mills. And of course, folks, it wouldn't be an Apprenticeship Week apprentice podcast unless we had an apprentice with us. And fortunately, we've got Jack Cutter here today. Jack is coming to us from the Skinning Grove facility for British Steel. Now, that's quite significant because this podcast is being supported by the CEA, and the CEA members actually get a lot of their products from the Skinning Grove facility, which is brilliant. Now, Jack, you have been an apprentice with British Steel at that facility for a couple of years now, and I'd like to just ask you a few questions about it. Jack, tell me how old you are and when did you start working at Skinning Grove?
So I'm 18 years old and I started working on site at Skinning Grove in September 2021.
Right, so you're right amongst it where the people in the industry need a lot of products and we need to push out. All of the CEA members have got huge order books at the moment. So that's great to see that you're producing the materials last year as well and helping the team there. But what attracted you really to working at British Steel? Because it's a big, big name, isn't it, British Steel?
Yeah, like you said, you know, it is a big name. And throughout my life, you know, a lot of my family and family friends have worked here and quite local to me. I only live 10 minutes up the road, so it's sort of a big influence on the area, employs a lot of local people. So that's a big help. And it's always been there. So when I got the email to say that British Steel were coming in for an interview, I was over the moon about it.
I bet you were. And wow, what a massive company on your doorstep. You know, walking to work is obviously a huge positive for you as well. You were doing some studying before you started your apprenticeship. What were you actually doing at school or college before your apprenticeship?
So I was studying mechanical engineering at TTE before getting this apprenticeship.
And what is TTE?
It's a sort of local engineering college. It studies all different trades of engineering and welding, fabricating, electrical work, instrumental work, all sorts.
So you really did have a vision for getting towards British Steel and into this sort of sector. You know, when it comes to your apprenticeship now, you're in your second year now. You know, what apprenticeship are you actually studying? Have you followed that through?
Yeah, so I'm doing a mechanical fitting apprenticeship, which is a bit different to the engineering I was doing at college, but it's a lot better in my eyes because the engineering at college I was doing was a lot of classroom-based work. This is more of a hands-on environment, which is much what I'd rather do.
You're in your second year, Jack, and so how long is the apprenticeship then?
So it's a three-year apprenticeship. The first year when I was taken on was in college, and then the last two are based on site.
That's fantastic. So practical experience. And, you know, you were at the college there, and you're talking about an apprenticeship route. Was it always the case that you were going to go that way? Why did you sort of choose that route rather than continuing sort of in education as such?
Definitely wanted an apprenticeship. I had that in my mind since I left school. I just thought of going to uni and, you know, not learning as much hands-on experience at the same time as learning. It's not really for me. I'd rather be on site working with my hands more than being sat in a classroom.
And of course, Jack, you're working with your hands, but you're also getting paid at the same time and not having that sort of debt that you're going to accrue by going to university. So it's a good decision from you in that perspective as well, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
You've been in the apprenticeship scheme now for 2 years. It's your second year. What have you actually learned and done so far?
Everything, just picking up tips from learning about equipment, and I've just been all over. It's sort of, there's different sections of the plant still to cover. I haven't done much work on any of the cranes on site or anything, but the mill and the furnaces where the product first comes in, I've just finished a couple months of work down there. So I'm moving on to the finishing end where everything's sorted and cut to size and packaged up.
And so you're really getting to know all the machines, the ins and outs, and actually getting hands-on with the maintenance and making sure that that equipment's working. So what kind of tasks have you been doing?
A bit of everything, working on all sorts of the different equipment there. You know, people that I'm working with are asking me questions as well, just to make sure that I'm picking up on stuff. They're giving me independence to say, you know, they've shown me how to do a task. They could tell me to go and do it the next week, and then they'll come over and check to make sure it's done.
So obviously you're getting some really, really good support there, Jack. So, you know, people, family, you've known a lot of people that have gone to work at British Steel as well. What's it like being part of that sort of British Steel family and having that mentorship?
It's great. You know, like I said earlier, there's people from family and friends that they've sat down and they've spoke about it, and it's always intrigued me. And it's nice to sort of be able to know what they were talking about now and to be able to sit down and have a conversation with them about work.
When you are walking around, when you're doing your job, there must be some things which are your sort of best bits, your things that you like the most doing. And what's been one of those so far for you?
I think definitely the sort of independent side of things. I'd like working with people, you know, I like them showing me what to do in that first, but then it gives me sort of the confidence to be able to do it by myself. And then that makes me think, well, when I come out of time and hopefully get a job here, I'll be able to do this without a worry.
What are the next steps for you in your second and third year of learning, and what are you really looking forward to in that area?
To move around the different parts of the site, you know, I've only been and learned and seen a small part of it so far, but definitely to get a whole idea of everything that's here and everything that we use, and then hopefully come out of time and get a job here.
And that sounds fantastic, Jack. I think what I'd like to also know, and, you know, I think the listeners in particular would like to know, is how did you actually find out about the apprenticeship scheme? And yeah, how did therefore you get involved in getting the job you've got today?
So with TTE, British Steel came into TTE and asked for our individual portfolios, which is just like a profile of our work and our attendance throughout the year. And then I was just sent an email saying that I've been pulled forward for an interview. I went to the interview, did that with Andy and Tony. And then 2 weeks later, was pulled back and they said, oh yeah, we want to offer you the apprenticeship.
And what was that feeling like, Jack, when that happened?
Yeah, it was a good feeling. It was definitely a good feeling. I was getting a bit worried of what I was going to start doing in my life.
I tell you what, that is great. I mean, opening that letter or getting that email must have been a euphoric moment for you. And I think, you know, it does start not just an apprenticeship scheme place. It also started a career for you as well. And I'm really interested to find out what you hope to do when you've completed your apprenticeship, because, you know, they are training you up to do lots of different things, and there are lots of different tasks to do at British Steel. It employs a lot of people. What's your vision for when you're, you know, qualified in a year and a half so's time?
I'd love to get a job here and then sort of work around the whole site. I've spoke to a lot of people who I work with now that have been around different parts of the site and worked the way up. Some have even become team leaders or engineers and shift fitters, so definitely to just see how far I can get with it.
Well, Jack, I certainly think you'll get far on doing the communication side of things as well. Jack, you've been fantastic on the podcast today. It's great to hear from a young man like yourself that's really passionate from an early age and that actually has put in the work that gets you to that first step, which was the interview, then gets you on the apprenticeship scheme. And for you coming on today to share your experience, I hope it will influence many other people to do exactly what you've done. All credit to you. I've got to get a let you get back to work, Jack, because I know we've pulled you off those tasks. Let's get you back to hands-on work. Thanks ever so much for joining us and sharing your experience.
Nice one. Thank you very much.
With Scunthorpe being an integrated site, what that actually means, folks, is they bring in raw materials like iron ore and coal into the site and ultimately convert them to steel directly cast into billets, blooms and slabs. And the thing about those products is that they then are transported into the northern mills that are in Teesside and Skinning Grove, and then they're processed. So those steel billets, blooms and slabs go into those facilities and they are then made into structural sections and profiles. And it's those materials that are really important for the Construction Equipment Association members to make their products, of course. And of course, they go to other people across the UK and globally. And I'm going to talk to one of their apprentices, Sam Colt, right now. And he's a first year apprentice at the Scunthorpe facility, where they also make wire rod, rail, and even more sections. So, Sam, first of all, how old are you, and when did you actually start working at the steelworks?
I'm 17 years old, and I started working in last September.
At that point, you know, you're looking at a whole new stage in your life, and what made you go for British Steel?
I thought it was a good opportunity, and it has a great future. And it's a sustainable career as well.
I really like that, what you just said, a sustainable career, because it's not just a job. It's a career opportunity, yeah, in some cases for life. And why that's important, folks, is guess what? Sam is sat there. He is not first generation, not second generation, not third generation, but fourth generation of your family to work for British Steel. My goodness, Sam, you do know a lot of things about sustainable careers in your household, don't you? And so That's a really big thing that you're now the fourth generation coming through. And What did you do before starting your apprenticeship, apart from watching all of the other generations come through the business as well?
Really just school, with me being 17. And doing things at home with my dad as well, found an interest. So, yeah.
You are now entering this fourth generation, this next step. And what apprenticeship have you actually got? And what are you actually doing?
I'm doing an electrical maintenance apprenticeship that lasts 3 years. So the first year, I'm in the training centre learning skills. And then the second and third year, I'm out on site in different placements, learning from the people that are already there and making my trade better, sort of thing.
Why did you actually pick that particular apprentice route? Is that again to do with your family?
Not really, because my dad's a mechanical engineer, so it's a bit different, but I just found a more interest in this than the mechanical side of it.
So you've been in the apprenticeship since September 2021. We're now in the beginning of February. What's happened so far? What have you learned so far?
So we've done lots of classroom work, so theories and things like that, so like Ohm's law and stuff like that. But then we've also got in a workshop learning about how to wire panels, electrical panels and things like that, just getting a better understanding.
And I think what's really interesting about the electricals is things and technologies moving so quick at the moment, and you know, it really is going to be a technology driven industry moving forward, isn't it?
Certainly.
And so it's not just about, obviously, being on an apprenticeship. It's about the people. And your family certainly had a great career with the business so far. But what are your sort of best bits, and what are the people like? What's it like being part of that team now?
Yeah, people are good. It's been like in a little family sort of thing, to be honest. I'll look out for each other. If someone needs help, we always help. So, yeah, we've all got each other's back sort of thing.
What are your best bits so far?
It's just learning new skills, meeting new people, and just coming to work and enjoying it, to be honest.
And that's really important, isn't it? You're starting off on your career path. You've chosen that career with British Steel, but it is about making two separate things, learning,
yeah,
but also about making those friendships and relationships that people are going to help you out. And, you know, you do have mentors as well that work with you, don't you?
Yeah.
Tell me about how they support you.
They're always there if we need help. They've got great knowledge because some have been out on plant already. So we get a really good understanding about what we need to learn and how to learn it.
So you've been in there for a few months now, done a lot of the practicals, but still got to wiring those panels already. What are you really looking forward to learning or doing as the next steps as you get through those 3 years of your apprenticeship?
Just going on site and hopefully working my way up, sort of thing, and meet new people and learn new skills.
I'm going to ask this question, Sam, of you, but I've got a funny feeling you'll tell me how you found out about the apprenticeship scheme with your family. But have they actually gone through the apprenticeship scheme as well?
My brother has, yeah. He did it, 4 years ago. When my dad was 16, he did it as well. So that's three of us that have done the apprenticeship.
What do you hope to do when your apprenticeship is completed?
Go out on site, learn new skills, hopefully get promoted up the ranks, sort of thing, into a good position in the future, yeah.
Got your family here. So we've got your brother, we've got your father, grandfather, I take it, as well, is it?
Yeah, and grandma as well.
I'm quite interested to understand what your dad has actually been doing and what your grandparents are actually doing as part of their roles. What kind of jobs do they do in British Steel?
My dad works at the heavy rolling stock, so that's looking after the locos that transfers the steel around the site. And then my grandma works in the admin side, so the paperwork and all that sort of thing.
Fantastic. So there's a lot of different roles and jobs there. And I think this is the nature of what we've got at Scunthorpe, which is the integrated steelworks, which has got all of these different elements to it. It's a fantastic, huge facility, which is really, you know, state of the art, isn't it? And I guess what is really interesting for me is, you know, what kind of areas do you see yourself potentially working in later on down the line?
Well, I'm open to anything, so I'm willing to go to any part of the plant.
And that's the right answer, I think, Sam, because as you walk around that plant, you gain knowledge, you gain experience. Yeah. That's what it's all about for you, isn't it?
Yeah, gaining knowledge as you work, so yeah.
And so part of the knowledge gaining as well is the support that you've got from North Lindsay College, which is the local college that helps you with your apprenticeship programme. What elements do they help you with?
They supply us with the instructors to learn from and give us a better understanding of the theory side of it. So like the health and safety and the electrical principles sort of thing.
So they really are in partnership there with the team at Scunthorpe that are then taking you onto the practical elements.
Yeah, we're all together sort of thing.
That's fantastic to see that you've got that, not just an integrated steelworks at where you're physically at, but an integrated learning approach with the college and the practicalities on site. And what a fantastic opportunity you've got to work across all these different areas. Yeah, would you recommend working with British Steel as well? And what are the reasons for that?
Yeah, I certainly would. I think it's just a great opportunity. Learn new skills, meet great people, great instructors, and a good job at the end of it as well.
What would you say to people how to get into the apprenticeship? What advice would you give someone?
Try your hardest, keep at it, keep working, and everything will come right in the end. That's what I would say.
Sam, the one person we have left out was your granddad. What is your granddad doing when he was working at the facility?
He was in the mills, working in the mills sort of thing, to be honest.
So there you go, folks, a massive variety. Sam's coming in fourth generation into British Steel. The family has joined the family business as British Steel and really is making a huge difference to jobs and careers. And Sam, you know, final thoughts for you. You know, obviously, you've talked about recommending people into the apprenticeship scheme, but when you have children of your own, if you're going to, will they be the fifth generation, do you think?
I don't know. We'll just wait and see.
And that, again, is the right answer. Thanks very much, Sam. It's been great to have you on the podcast and really appreciate some of your insights and your enthusiasm that you've come through to talk about your journey. That is fourth generation. Who knows, folks, where that will go for Sam, but it certainly is a fantastic opportunity. Thanks very much, Sam.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Our first apprentice was Jack, and Jack mentioned Andy Clark. And Andy is his mentor at Skinning Grove. And Andy actually went through the apprenticeship scheme himself a little longer ago than Jack did. I think it was over 40 years of experience. And I wanted to bring him in to talk about the practical work experiences that they're doing right now and why it's so important to the success of the Skinning Grove facility and the wider British Steel organisation. Andy, great to have you on the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, you're quite right there. I joined British Steel in 1977 down in Scunthorpe.
It's great to see someone like you that's grown through the business that is actually putting back into the young people and apprentices that are now coming into the organisation. That's really important to you and to the business, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's the part of my job that I really, really enjoy. I've enjoyed the last 43, 44 years, but taking on the apprentice scheme, I've really enjoyed it.
And that's why we've got you on the podcast, because I wanted to learn a little bit more about some of the tasks and the learning that happens and the mentoring that the individuals get on the scheme. Can you tell me a little bit about that, please?
The apprentices are assisting with maintenance of all aspects of equipment throughout the mill. It's important that the apprentices gain the knowledge of the experienced members of the teams, some of whom will soon be retiring.
You're absolutely right. We've got to replace that skill set. It's vitally important. And Andy, what is really exciting for me is the recent announcements that you've made about the huge investment that's going into the facilities. And obviously, that makes a big difference to the skill sets you're going to need, new technologies and new equipment coming in. And certainly, it's not going to be the same place it was in 1977 when you actually joined, Andy. Tell me a little bit about that investment and also the fact you're going to have some equipment that has been with the business for a long time that needs to be maintained. Tell me a little bit about it, Andy.
Absolutely, Peter. Yeah, we're just starting a £26 million project up at Skinning Grove, which will see a new processing centre for mass sections, which we use for the forklift truck sector. Being involved from the start will give the apprentices the best possible grounding and enable them to fully understand the workings and systems at the same time as our existing engineers.
So how does the apprenticeship scheme work, Andy? And how do you manage all that sort of continuous development and these sort of high levels of skills with, you know, £26 million is a huge amount of investment, loads of different new technologies, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I've developed a spreadsheet, Peter, for the apprentices, which sees them move to all the different areas of the mill, like the high-pressure descaling system, which removes scale from the steel prior to rolling, which gives a high-quality surface finish.
And Andy, you mentioned to me, this is really important, folks, that particular element there you put in at 2017, that is a world-class piece of equipment, isn't it, Andy? It gives us that amazing finish that the manufacturers are all going to benefit from, and your end users, whatever they're using the steel for. It's really important, that, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, Peter, yeah. A lot of the forklift mass sections are cleaned with the descaler. We've actually had awards for the surface quality and the supply of that material.
And what do we think about surface quality, folks? Well, we know we've got a great surface quality. We're going to have the paintwork going on to that, and we're not going to get peeling paint. We're going to get a nice-looking machine that continues to do its task, and obviously residual values that relate to all of these sort of things. So it's really important that you get the best quality of products, isn't it? And that leads on, really, Andy, to the investment that you're making in brand new equipment, that sort of £26 million worth of investment, isn't it? And I mean, that really is going to lead to a greater need for new skills and new development. And also, you know, you're able to move your apprenticeships around the business. So it's great to hear about all these different elements. And of course, you know, you're going to be bringing on new apprentices in the future as well. And what type of apprentices are you going to be bringing through, and what type of skills are they going to need in the future?
Yeah, we take on mechanical, electrical, and in certain cases, instrument technicians, Peter. We always take our apprentices from TTE, which is the local training centre.
It's great to talk to you, Andy. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
This is a really complex and really fascinating business. And of course, it needs a lot of clever people to run all of the facilities. And one of those people that's helping bring through the next generation is Tony Malone, that I've got onto the podcast today. And Tony has actually got 45 years experience, and he used to be an apprentice, and he's now one of the key mentors that's putting the next generation through British Steel so that they can continue to deliver fantastic products for both the UK and international markets. Tony, welcome into the podcast. Great to have you with us. Tell me about the apprenticeship scheme and what the business needs and why you've created it and why you've decided to be a mentor to all of those people coming through?
Yes, well, the engineering sector of our business actually has a rich heritage of apprentices over the years. Myself, as you've stated, I came in the business as an apprentice for Turner in 1976. Using apprentices is a key part of ongoing development of our business. Longevity within British Steel is commonplace. For an engineering apprentice to join our business allows the apprentice to develop special skills. When an apprentice comes into the business, we need to see that wanting to be part of us, a buy into our business. Apprentices will develop in all sorts of aspects, communication, problem solving, project management, and team working skills as part of their engineering apprentice development. Apprentices also develop visibility on problem solving. They encompass a massive aspect of skill. So it's a very complex training development for apprentices within our business.
Got around 200 apprentices across your sites. That's a lot to manage, isn't it? And there's a lot of those different disciplines, engineering, manufacturing, electrical, mechanical, and all those technical things that are coming through now. And so what is the ask from the business from the perspective of apprenticeships, and how have you developed those specifically for the challenges that you face within your business?
From that pool of apprentices, which is not just all engineering, there's manufacturing apprentices in their operators and such as that. There's 19 engineering apprentices across the Northern Mill sectors, which covers Teesside B Mill and Skinning Grove. They're classed as the Northern Mills division. We also bring into the business graduates, along with competent and experienced tradesmen and established engineers, to bring into the business that skill knowledge that's already embedded in them, which is important to pass on to apprentices. Training for today and tomorrow, we continue to invest in latest technologies and solutions, that's for sure. The apprentices have a comprehensive program of classroom teaching that covers an academic requirements through their apprenticeship. But more importantly, it's the on-job training process, being on the job, not just understanding the job, it's the safety preparation for the job, and following that through with risk assessments and safe working procedures, but to understand them procedures. And all that doesn't come just overnight. That comes with time, face-to-face with the tradesman he's working with, and being open to all different aspects of engineering, whether it be planned maintenance or breakdown situations. All of the training is covered on the Smart Assessor system, which we review with TTE, who is our training provider at Teesside. We review with them monthly, which is a system where each individual apprentice shows their training record to date. We review on a monthly basis with TTE the progression and training program and what level they're at and what level they should be at. All the training that they undertake is on there. All the communication from the assessors is there. So we see everything.
Tell me a little bit about the actual recruitment then element that comes in to get the apprentices through to their business.
Our training provider at the moment is TTE and Middlesbrough College. The combined is one unit now. We get numbers delivered to us on shortfalls within the business, a predicted 5-year rolling plan of what apprentices will need to support the business. And when we have them numbers, we contact TTE. So they go through portfolios and vet them for us. But anyone who wants to be considered for an interview is invited to come to the mills to have a look around, see the end product, the working environment that could be open to, and see if they could adapt to that. And we talk to them, we engage with them. This is the working environment, tell them what we're about, talk about our heritage, talk about our pride and passion of the product we produce, and give them the feel of where we are. Then if they are interested, they apply for an interview, and if successful, these apprentices are usually in the training center for at least a year. We recruit from the first year going into the second year, which we class as our first year. And the reasons why we do that is to see how they adapt to leaving school, to coming into a work environment. We promote respect in the workplace, good attitude, want to learn, good attendance, then if they are successful for an interview, there's a selection process we go through.
That's great, Tony. And part of that process is actually introducing those new apprentices that you bring on to the mentors and the people that are going to support them within the business, like yourself and your colleague Andy, we're going to hear from later on in the podcast. And I think that's really, really important that you've got this whole structure there of mentors, people like yourself that have been apprentices, know what life is like, how to go through all that situation. And that's just a fundamental, isn't it, of the way British Steel treats the family orientated nature of the business, isn't it? And so, you know, tell me how people can actually get in touch with you if they're interested.
Firstly, they can look at British Steel's website and see what vacancies are coming up and are available. Alternatively, they can contact TTE direct and go that route.
Tony, great insights into what you're doing there. The whole structure is there for people to support people. Those critical partnerships that you've also got, and the ability for you to get that pool and train that pool up. Really important, these jobs. And they are, folks, jobs for life in the case of Tony. And it's great to talk to you, Tony. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So what an absolutely brilliant opportunity that was for me to talk to British Steel, a fantastic business that's doing an awful lot to support our industry with those 1,450 different specifications of steel that's going to help us make the equipment we need to move forward and also support us in general terms with structures and building for the future. But this podcast was a special one because also it's got a special sponsor, the CEA, the Construction Equipment Association. They actually talked to me and wanted me to support some of their members with this particular podcast. And we're working with them, as you know, on an ongoing basis, telling you all about what's happening in the news. And so Sunita Johal, who is the new CEA CEO, has basically joined us to close off the podcast. Sunita, really great to have you closing this off. And thanks very much for supporting it. I just wanted to get some thoughts on apprenticeships from yourself and what's happening in the future when it comes to skills with the CEA. Tell us a little bit about it.
Thanks, Peter. Well, firstly, thank you so much to British Steel for supporting our work with the National Manufacturing Skills Task Force. Great to have you as such an active member in the area. And, you know, it's great to see some of our members and what they're doing to promote careers in the industry. So not just working through apprenticeship schemes, but working with local schools and colleges. And as we all know, the CEA works with Primary Engineer as well to raise awareness of career paths of the sector in school. In terms of apprenticeships, you know, they're very important and it's a great way to attract not just the younger generations, but also career changers into the industry to ensure really that we have the skills, not just for now, but for the long term, for the future, to deliver the industry needs. The CEA will be working on this a lot over the next 12 months and moving forward as well, not just with members, but with industry stakeholders and policymakers as well, to see how we can attract the younger generations and others into the industry and also improve the perception of the industry as well.
And thank you, Sunita, for joining us at the end of the podcast here, rounding it off beautifully there. Great to hear about the investment in skills and the way in which you're working with the industry. This has been another fabulous opportunity for me to give you the insights, folks, into this podcast from Content with Media, and phenomenal to hear from the apprentices themselves. Great stuff. And remember, folks, if you've enjoyed this edition, please share it with your friends. And also, you can go back and listen to lots more of my podcasts as well. I think we're up to about 60 now, all insights from different people in the industry, which is fabulous. And of course, folks, one thing I'd really ask you to do is please look after yourself. Stay safe out there. And until the next time, goodbye.